We want to welcome now on Niagara's Choice Voice Line our very good friend, Judge Angelo Morinello. He is a New York State Assemblyman representing District 145. Angelo is in Albany. And so on this Wednesday morning, Angelo, welcome back to WLVL.
Thank you, John. It's a pleasure to be back on the radio to just give a little perspective and information as to what is occurring in Albany. I think, as most people know, we are in the middle of the budget negotiations. However, it's really interesting. Even the majority members have no idea what's happening. We anticipate we'll be released for the Easter holiday, possibly voting on the debt service bill. And what that does is just authorizes the state to pay its excessive debts. But unfortunately, what included within there is, should it not pass, employees would not get paid. So surreptitiously, they add things to certain budget bills that are difficult to vote against because they hurt our working class individuals, those hard individuals that keep everything going. As part of that, I think everyone realizes the governor on her own decided that she was going to change the school aid formulas and eliminate a principle called hold harmless. The hold harmless basically said that no school district would get less than they received in the previous year, therefore assisting with their ability to project forward, to have predictability, to figure out what to do with classes and teachers. Well, in my district alone, the 145th Assembly District, Grand Island lost 1%, which is $159,300 plus.
Wow.
Lewiston Porter, minus 4.8%, $507,500. North Tonawanda, which I only serve a small portion, $1.9 million. Niagara Falls School District, only 0.2%, $284,000. Niagara Wheatfield, $338,000. Those are in thousands. Star Point, 270, and Wilson, 539. Now, Starport and Wilson are not in my district. What the governor did was, though, she put $2.4 billion for, you can call them whatever you want. Are they migrants? Are they asylum seekers? But predictably, most of them are the illegal entries over the border. They're taking $2.4 billion, taking it from our school budgets, from our students, from those that pay the taxes, and just doling it out. Of that, $500 million is from the Rainy Day Fund, of which last year there was, bragging rights about how much they were putting in the Rainy Day Fund. So it makes no sense. However, one good thing is, in both One House budgets, and One House as I mean, the Senate and Assembly, so you have a three-pronged budget process. You have the governor's budget, then you have the Senate's One House, the Assembly's One House, and then they negotiate. The two One House budgets from the Senate and Assembly do restore the hold harmless, which at least we know the schools will be getting at least what they received last year, and they're proposing increases to the schools. The difficulty is, We have what is called foundation aid. Foundation aid is a basic formula to fund the everyday expenses. Within the budgets for schools, I want to say it's 23 categories that make up the total school budget. Things such as transportation, food, etc. However, the issue here is one of why take from our children? Why take from the Rainy Day Fund? Let's go to highways. Reduce CHIPS. CHIPS is the money that the towns, villages, and cities get to fix highways for the legitimate, logical taxpayers. Okay? They've decreased that $80 billion. So what's happening is, of course, with inflation, because it's never really gone up. It's always reduced and then brought back to norm. Inflation has caused towns and villages to receive or be able to buy less blacktop, less stone. So, again, the budget is skewed towards the non-productive, skewed towards those that are just for a handout. Now, we're all products of migrants. Our ancestors came through, but they came through the front door. And, you know, I would urge people to go see the movie Cabrini to see how the Italians were treated when they came to this country. They had kids living in sewers with rats. But what did they do? They fought hard, and they lifted themselves up. They grouped together. They cooked. They worked. They put it. And what do we have now? We have Italians that have ascended into judgeships, into political positions, into doctors and lawyers. These opportunities are there for all. And apparently, when it comes to asylum seekers because of issues happening in their country, I believe the statistics show that only about 10% of them would be eligible to eligible to be considered asylum seekers. But if you say that, okay, then you're protected and you get freebies. So all of the coyotes, which are those that orchestrate the illegal entries, they are telling them. Now, that leads into one other bigger problem that's emerging. Okay? And what that is squatters. It is amazing, and I apologize. I didn't realize that squatters have rights after 30 days. You go out, if you're a snowbird and you go on vacation and go to Florida for 2 months, you come back and there's people in your house. Right now, under the law, the squatters have more rights than the property owners. My conference has a bill that we have put in. We have a press conference today. And this, what brought this to light was last week, Nadia Vitelis, a woman traveling from Spain to prepare a Manhattan apartment owned by her late mother, was brutally beaten to death by two squatters and left her body in a duffel bag. The squatters were not able to be removed. They had no bail on these squatters. They have no a sense of community. Yet this is how New York State treats lawful citizens, lawful landowners. And right now, the rental rights are skewed towards the non-owners. They want to pass what's called good cause eviction. Trust me, good cause eviction, you will have more homelessness. And here's why. Because landlords will refuse to take care of their property. And what that really means is, assume you have a lease. You have a one-year lease on a home you own. And you have a daughter or son who's getting married. And you figure, okay, my lease is up in March. I'm going to have my children move into that house so I can be close to my grandchildren. Unless you have a legal reason under good cause, you cannot, at the end of that lease, evict those tenants. They have more rights than the owners. This is New York State law. So between that and the squatter's rights, now, what we want to do is change the definition of a squatter, change the time period, and have more protections for the lawful owners of the property. What's happened in New York City, it's really interesting. There's some goon squads that have been formed. You can pay them to go in, and they'll kick the door in and pull them the squatters out. Okay? And that's it, because the police can't do anything. There's another incident of a woman goes back to her house after an extended vacation. Squatters are in the house, so she changes the locks. They have her arrested. You mentioned that the lawful homeowner coming back from an extended vacation gets arrested because people broke into her house and are living there illegally. And in that particular instance, the squatters were renting out rooms in the house. Okay? And keeping the income. So this is a major, major issue that the voters of this state have to start realizing and analyzing who is in their best interest, okay? Who is in the best interest of those that are here legally? Who are in the best interest to protect their rights? The other thing with the housing crisis, and this was defeated last year, thank God, but it's back. The state really wants to be able to control, local control. What does that mean? If they felt that the zoning in our towns and villages was overly restrictive for subsidized housing, they could override it. It could take away all constitutional local property rights. So we're in a really, really difficult time, John. So these are issues, including issues in the a bloated budget. When I started, our budget was, I believe, about $160 billion. The governors came in at $222. Both Senate and Assembly, one house, has increased $13 billion. We anticipated that this will become $237 billion. That's with a B. Think about it. Bigger than the budget of Florida and Texas combined.
Wow.
Coupled with that, the out-migration of the high earners that pay the taxes. They keep saying, oh, well, we got more people. But who do you have coming in? You've got illegals. Now, let's take New York City. They had a law. They passed a law in New York City to allow non-citizens to vote. 800,000. That would mean that anybody who came over that border illegally would be able to vote. And who are they going to vote for? The ones that are now giving debit cards this week, because the illegal entry people, they didn't like the food that was in the hotel. So they're being given $350 a week with a debit card so they can go buy what they want, go rent a place what they want, your tax dollars. What about our own living poor? What about those that are under the poverty line that are our citizens, that go to work? What about the families that have two and three jobs? Eh? We lose sight. But other than the venue like your show, these people don't hear it.
Right,
see?
Right.
And I know we're close to the end, right?
Yeah, actually, we have run out of time, Angelo, but I'll be in touch, and we will get you back on just as soon as we can, because there's so much information here that's very valuable to us.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity, Jeff.
All right, Angelo, you know you're a good friend of ours. We appreciate your time, and get back to work over there in Albany today, huh?
We will.
And tell Mike we said hi.
Take care.
All right, you too. Angelo Mornello, Judge Angelo Mornello, calling in from Albany as they are in the process of budget negotiations for New York State.